Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Levi Langer. Maseches Bava Metzia has been dedicated by Rabbi and Mrs. Chaim Shlomo Metz. Le'ilei Nishmas Shmar Yehu Ben Chaim.
Masechta Bava Metzia, Daf Pei. The Gemara tells us that if a person hires a porter to carry a load, so the porter is assumed a standard load that he's able to carry will be a maximum of 30 kavs. If you overload him by an extra kav, then you're responsible for whatever harm or injury comes to the porter as a result of the fact that you overloaded him. The Gemara asks the Kasha, the porter is a bendas, a human being, and he's capable, if he sees the load is too heavy, let him throw it down. Why are you responsible for his injury? So first we have a teretz of Abaye. Abaye answers, b'shechov to la'alta, that we're talking about a case in which the porter was immediately forced down on the spot the moment that you overloaded him, before he had a chance to throw off the load. That's a bias teretz. Then we'll go through a couple of tzodim, and finally we come out with Rav Ashi's teretz, which is the teretz that brought down the poskim. Rav Ashi says that it's not a taina, the fact that the porter is a bendas and he could have thrown it off, because who saw vor chol shehu denokatlei. In other words, that he was under the misunderstanding, mistakenly thought, that it was just a spell of faintness, or just a weakness for a moment, and it would pass, and that's why he didn't throw it off. He didn't realize, in fact, he was really overloaded, so that's why, consequently, he really achayev. The Torah, when he brings this din down in Chosh Mishpot Shinches, the Torah brings down the teretz of Rav Ashi, which is lahalacha, that the porter just thought it was a spell of faintness, that's why he didn't throw it off, and therefore you're responsible for the hezek. The Torah says a rather cryptic thing in the name of the Rama. The Torah says that the Rama paskins that you only are going to be chayev benezek bilvad, only for the direct injury, the nezek is what you made him worthless as a result of the injury that you caused him. Aval hadala de devorim lemechayev elahecha da azke biyadayim, and that's the Rama. So the other dala devorim that started up b'shevas boishes, which normally other hamazik, of course, is chayev on five different things, like you had in Baba Kama. Nezek is the loss of value. You also have the humiliation, the boishes. You have the pain. You have the doctor bills. You have the unemployment. And these other dala devorim, the Rama says, brought into the Torah, that you're not going to be chayev when the porter gets injured as a result of having overloaded him, because that's not called azke biyadayim. It's not called having harmed him directly biyadayim. The Ktsayis HaChoshen over there grapples with and discusses what exactly is the hezber in this Rama. You're missing something called azke biyadayim. And the Chayyur, you're the one who overloaded him, and he was forced down, and he got injured as a result of that. So what is this idea that it's not called a hezek biyadayim? So the Ktsayis still sue. He draws a parallel to a Ritva over here in Bamatzia, which is brought in the Shingo Bet, says that the Ritva asks the Kasha on the Gemara altogether. The Ritva says, Makom Makom, ultimately, the porter was hit the Esatzmo. He fooled himself. He was under one impression. It was really the reality was different. He thought it was able for him to hold it. He couldn't hold it. But what the bottom line is that the porter decision, it's his own mistake, and why should the person who loaded him up be chayev on that? It's a porter's responsibility to judge it correctly and not make that mistake. Why are you going to be mechayev the person who loaded him? So the Ritva says the teretz that we're talking about a case in which the fellow who loaded him up gave him his word that this is a load that he'll be able to handle. It's not beyond the maximum, and therefore you took the word of the person who overloaded you, and consequently, since you took his word, and it was a result of the samchus, the relying on his word, they ended up getting harmed, so therefore, that is called girei. Girei is an expression from the Gemara, it means it's like your arrows, as if you shot the arrows, so to speak. You harmed him, the overloader harmed him, by having given the word which was really false, and it's consequently similar, says the Ritva, to the case in the Gemara, of mara dinner l'shulchanoi, and he says it's yofen, and it turns out it's not yofen. In other words, you show your dinner to the coin expert, at the shulchan, who knows all about coins, and he assures you that that coin is authentic and genuine, and therefore you end up losing a lot using a shirt on that coin, and it turns out the coin is not genuine, so the Shulchan is going to be chayev because he is the cause, his word that you're relying on is the cause of your absence. Same thing over here, says Ritva, the word of the loader who said it was not beyond the maximum, and you relied on that, and that's a cause of your hefsid, that therefore you're going to be chayev. The bottom line over here is like this. Based on this idea, we ought to make a distinction between the case like Abaye gave in the Gemara, that you got chav tila alta, that you got immediately forced down at once, in which case, in that case, In other words, it's mamash like he injured you directly. He put this load on you, which mamash directly caused the harm to you. That's other hamazik, and surely it's going to be chayav in all of the five devarim, tzar, ripui, etc. And that's not the case that the Rama was talking about. The case the Rama was talking about was really like as meduyik in the Torah, where we don't have a bayev scenario. It wasn't chofta la'alter, but rather it really happened after a while. He overloaded you, and then after a while, the injury came. What's the assert of the Mechayev in that case? It says the Ksois. Well, we brought down from the Ritzmo. Mechayev is not that he did a direct pa'ula that was mazik you, but rather that his word ended up causing you harm. You relied on it, and you assumed that it was not overloaded, and when it ended up, it was overloaded, and after a while it caused the harm. It would have really been a grumble, it would have been indirect, but since his word was directly followed by you and ended up causing you harm, that's called Garmi. And that's the Ksois as Mazbir. Garmi, as you know, is a somewhat more direct case of a grama, which halacha l'maisa yichayev on the Tali Paskin, with don din of the garmi. And but however, it says the tzais, even though we are don din of the garmi, oh, but from das vegan, despite that, garmi is not the same thing as a direct action, it's not other hamazik mamish, and therefore by garmi, there's no chiddush to be chayev on all of the other talad form, the tzar, the ripoy, etc. You only be chayev on nezek, on the loss of value. That's the tzais. Now the amni nezer goes a step further on this din of the Rama, and the Avnei Nezer says a specific vort on this. It's a somewhat sausendic vort. It's interesting that the Stipler in the Kilz Yankiv really mechavent a lot of the same raid as the Avnei Nezer in his vort. But both the Stipler and the Avnei Nezer work on is that they speak of a comparison between a case of Garmi and a case in which a person's behemoth caused damage. In fact, the Avnei Nezer makes a rather startling claim. In the Maisa, we don't even know what the source is that Chazal had to mechayev a din of the Garmi. Din of the Garmi is really a case which is indirect, but it's a somewhat direct cause. There's different sheet of the Rishonim, the exact nature of Garmi, and it's sufficiently direct, and therefore you chayev. Is the Bemisok to Avnei Nezer? The truth is we don't exactly know what the marker is to mechayev a Garmi, if it's somewhat indirect. And Avnei Nezer makes a startling claim that it's actually learned out of the din of Niske Behemtoi, which you have all the Prokam Baba Kama about this, all the Psukam Meshpotim. The person behemoth is mazik, it causes damage. The person was lacked responsibility in being vigilant about his behemoth, and the behemoth caused damage. So you end up being chayev, and Avnei Nezer says, well, take a look at that. The person caused a lack of responsibility. What he mitzidoi, what the mensch did mitzidoi, was to lack responsibility. Not take a responsible, vigilant role, clapping his animal. But because you lack responsibility, it ended up being generated from that the animal did damage. It's not other hamazik, but you did generate the hezik by the fact that you lacked your vigilance about the animal, your lack of achrayas, which caused the animal to be mazik, and you chayev on that. It says the same exact thing, or the similar idea, claims the Avnei Nezer is the kind concept of garmi, which he claims is actually learned out of the parasha and the chumash of behemtoi that was mazik. In other words, the garmi is not a behema, but in the case of Garmi, the person did put into effect something that ended up triggering damage. Like over here, it was his word that he placed out there, which ended up, there was a reliance on his word that ended up causing damage. So therefore, that's consequently similar to your behemoth which is out there, and as a result of you were not vigilant, and caused the damage. The same thing, your word, which you were irresponsible with, caused the damage as well. So it's comparable to behemta hamazik, and therefore it says that in Asia, just like we all know, that there's no dollar form when your behemoth is mazik. You know, if your animal mazik somebody, he doesn't pay any boishes or tsar, etc. The more it goes into the Baba Kama, there's no payment for those things. So therefore, likewise, there's also no payment of the Alad Dvorim when it's Garmi, because Garmi is similar and in fact learned out, according to Adi Nezer, from the Din Behem HaMazik. You put something out there, it ended up causing the damage, but it's not your direct Pa'ula, it's not other HaMazik. The Kilas Yankiv and the Stipler has a shtickle in Bab Metzia, in which he says a lot of the similar same Yesoid as the Avnei Nezer, and the Kilas Yankiv says he has a clear, he has a what the pshat when mechayev of Garmi. Garmi is a case that's indirect, but it's sufficiently direct enough he can be chayev on that. Is it the pshat that it's neschadish in the din of Garmi that is called the olam mazik? In other words, it wasn't mamish a direct action you did, but still it's sufficiently direct in your part that it's including olam mazik. Or says the Stipler, is it the pshat that it's actually comparable to behemtli, which was mazik? You put something out there which ended up causing a hezik. So the Stipler actually wants to suggest that it could be a machlekes rishonim. But what he does say is that he found a very clear source on the subject in the Mukhi Yosef in Masechta Baba Kama, the fifth parak, which is really Mavur, clearly says the Stipler, the same Yisoid, that a damage which is
garmi, and it's not mamash a direct action, but you're responsible for it anyway because it's direct enough that's only comparable to behemoth, which was mazik. And the Muki Yosef in Masechta Bava Kamma discusses the case of the Israeli cases in the Gemara in the fifth parak of Bava Kamma, that somebody's axe falls into someone else's pit, which was filled with water, and there's a case in the Gemara over there that it's in, that because the axe had a foul smell, so his body ended up smelling up and causing giving a foul odor to the water in the pit. And there's a shail over there, are you going to be chayav on that for the fact that your axe caused a foul odor to the water in the pit? Now, the Gemara says in Masechta Bava Kamma that that's called a groma. The details of that are not that they're negated to us, but upon them, the point is that the fact that the odor was transmitted from the ox to the water in the pit is now called a direct maisa on the part of the animal, and therefore it's indirect, and consequently the Gemara patas you out groma. The Muki Yosef writes that the Gemara is not brought down in the Rif, and why not? So he's mafampal, and he suggests, because it actually depends on the dina de garmi, and the Gemara was going that we're not machayev, dina de garmi is just indirect, and he's merely a potter, and the Gemara says it calls it a groma. The Rif paskins that machayev dina de garmi, and therefore, this case where the ox fell to the water of the pit is going to be considered garmi, and a meila, consequently, you are going to be chayev against the Gemara, and that's why the Rif doesn't bring down this din. Zokt of them, the Muki Yosef, that even though it's true that that is the Hezber in the Shitas Harif, who doesn't bring down the Gemara, because he holds the Itaka Chayev, when it caused a foul odor to the Mayim of the Boy, when your behemoth caused a foul odor. However, he says that the Ra'ah said the name of his Rebbe, Ra'ah B'Shem Rabboi, the Ra'ah said the name of his Rebbe, that that's not a correct Shita. And in a matter of fact, we really ought to say that even though we are done Dina the Garmi, Afal Pikein, when the ox fouls up the water in the pit, in a somewhat indirect manner, that's not going to be chayav. Why? Zokta Ra'ah, because Dina the Garmi is a chiddush that is only said by a Odom that's mazik. If a person plots a dina de garmi into effect, you're going to be liable for that. Mashenk, and if a behemoth does something in a manner of garmi, which is what happened over here, your behemoth fell into the pit, and in a somewhat indirect manner, it fouled up the odor of the water of the pit. So therefore, your behemoth caused the garmi. There's no din that a behemoth causes the garmi, you're going to be chayef. And the Ra'ah into this, he says, is actually comparable, and he makes a specific comparison to the din of the Gemara says in Bava Kamma, that if a person digs a pit, then the person is responsible for damage that gets caused by the pit. But the Gemara says, "Veloy shayer bur." If your animal paws the ground and ends up digging a pit, so if your animal digs a pit, ish bur veloy shayer bur, and you're not responsible for the pit that your animal created. The zokt of them, the Ra'ah, just like we find over there, that a person is not responsible for the pit that his animal created. If you had done it, you'd be responsible for the pit, for the bur. Your animal does it, you're not responsible. So likewise, anything else the animal creates, you're also not responsible for. Like over here, the animal creates the bad odor, gives it to the water of the pit, you're not going to be chayav on that either. And that's why it says the Ra'ah that we don't pass on like the Rif, and we hold that if a person's animal falls into a pit with water, fouls up the odor of the water, you're potter. Dr. Stipel of the Chayr over here, we see a very, very clear raya to this Yisoid that we're saying. That you see that the Ra'ah made a comparison to figure out what the din is when your animal creates a garmi. And what was the comparison? He compared it to a case in which your animal created a koyach hamazik like a bur. The animal created an entity called a bur, you're not responsible for that. And that's comparable to a case in which the animal created a garmi. So you see clearly, says the Stipler, that you see from the Ra'ah, that the din of garmi is comparable to mom and hamazik. It's comparable to my entity causes the hezek, just like the Ra'ah compares it to a case where a bird is mazik. So therefore, says the Stipler, this is a clear riot that the pshat and garmi is not that it was nischadish, that that's nichol and other hamazik, but rather the pshat and garmi is it's a new din which you're responsible for, and you have to be vigilant and you have to pay for, even though it's not actually called that it was mamish you or ma'isa, and that fits very well, like we said with the Ramah brought in the Torah, that the Ramah says that if the person just does a garmi, which is to say, like the Tzai said, that you relied on his word, the word of the loader upper, that he loaded you up and said that you weren't overloaded, you relied on his word, ended up being genizik from that, that's just a garmi, and therefore you're potter from the Dal Dvorim and only chayav on nezik. The next Mishnah on Amud Beis brings another din, that if someone says to his friend, Shmerli, wash this thing for me, and the friend says, Hanach lefonai, put it down in front of me, so shemichinam. So that apparently, it's just saying, Hanach lefonai, you say, put it in front of me, and he puts it in front of you, and automatically you're responsible for watching over it in the manner of a shemichinam. The Rosh over here, the short stickle, makes a straightforward deed. The Rosh says, apparently, there's no need to make a ma'is a kinyan like a mashicha in order to become a shemichinam. We do not say that only after you make a kinyan to be machdas into your rishus to take it into your domain. Only then are you ashamed or responsible. We don't say that. Just an achlefanai, without any kinyan at all, just put it in front of me and I'll be responsible. And that automatically is mechayev you in being a shemech chinam. And the Rosh over here is mitzayin to what he elaborates more at length in the 8th parak. And Tosfos, by the way, goes to the same shtickle on the tzaddik test in the 8th parak. And both of them come out, Tosfos and the Rosh, that in fact that's the din benegiah to shemech chinam and a shemech sachar, that both of them become chayev just with the kavola sashmira, hanachlofana yechayev. And the Grada, maybe we'll talk about this a little bit later, that Tosis and the Rosh do say over there that Masha'in came in to get to Shoyl and Soicher, over there, you're actually acquiring for the purpose of Ashtamshis, and that takes a Maisa Kinyan to actually acquire the purpose of using it. Then maybe we'll see a little bit later. Al Koponim, the Rosh over here, and the Tosis later on, are both Madaik from the words Hanach Lefonai, that a person becomes responsible as a Shemachinim, Shemesachar, Afilu, if he didn't make any Maisa Kinyan of taking it into his Rishus. The Shin Gubetz over here brings an Arayavid that was not like that. There are other Rishonim that disagree, and they hold that you do need a Maisa Kinyan. And the Arayavid, the Tain is that the Gemara says later on the Tzadik Tes, as Sugya and Tzadik Tes Medhal, Tiknu Mashiach B'Shayrim. And the simple lesson of the Gemara is Mashma Kli, the Chazal Masak in the Dinam Mashiach, the Joshua B'Shayrim schleps it as a Maisa Kinyan, and that makes him into a Shayrim. So you see, it's like the Raiva that you can't learn this Mishnah Kipshutai, you can't learn that this Mishnah is talking that just plating it down in front of me without any Kavolas Kinyan or anything, that should be a acceptance of a Chiyuv Shmira. It's not like that, because you see over there that Tiknu Mashiach B'Shayrim. Now, granted, the Tois and the Rosh, Alpidar.com, they answer the Kasha over there on Tzadik Tes, and both of them say that Gemara can't be talking about when you become chayev and shmira. It's just not true. You see in our Mishnah, you're chayev and shmira before any Mashiach, just hamanach lefonai. There, it's talking about to the point which a person gets a right over the object that he borrowed or rented. If he's a shoyl or a soicher, he gets a right over it to the point that the owner can no longer be chayzer boy and can't back out anymore. It's special, then you do a Mashiach and the owner can't back out. You acquire your right. But Koponim, and again, to becoming a shomer, responsible, shemechinah, shemesachar, Tosfos and the Rosh say clearly that our Mishnah is determinative, and we go with the Satam Haloshan of our Mishnah, hanach lefonai, without a kinyan, you become a shomer. The Ravid argues on this, and the Ravid claims that you definitely do have to have a Kabbalah's kinyan, you have to make a kinyan to become chayav as a shomer. I was pshat over here, it says a nachlufonai. So the Ravid says that the answer is it's a specific scenario in which the fellow has an animal he's trying to get you to watch. He hits the animal with a stick, and the animal walks over toward you. And that, and we are talking about a case of a simta. A simta is like the shoulder on the highway, where the Gemara tells us in a couple of places. In a simta is where it's possible to be kind of with Mashiach, kinyan Mashiach schlepping it, it's in a simta. And therefore, since it was in a simta, and it was an animal, and the owner hit it, the owner animal hit it, so Mela came toward you. And therefore, consequently, Zok the Raivit, that's the equivalent of a Mashiach in the Simta, and therefore the Shomer takes it into his domain with Mashiach, and he's Chayev. The wrong person did the Mashiach, Zok the Raivit. The Shomer did the Mashiach, and the Shomer didn't say it, he just spoke verbally, Hanach Lefonai. It seems to have been the Bailam who did it. The Bailam hit it, and it walked. Zok the Raivit, a very startling thing. The Raivit says that that's not a problem because the Bailam is doing the Mashiach. In other words, that the Shomer is the one who should be doing the Mashiach to take it into his domain and become a chroy. But the Bailam did it, and he did it with the Shlichus. It's as if the Shomer did it himself. That's what the Ravid says. This a point of the Ravid that it's when the Bailam puts it down and hits it, etc., it's Kilu the Shomer did it because the Shliach is actually elaborated on more by Arichos and the Meiri over here, who also brings in and goes to such a Shita. The Meiri discusses the same question that Sugis, the Chayr later on, the Tzadik Tes, it's Mashma. You have to have had some sort of kinyan in order to become a shemir. So the Meiri goes with the same basic mahalach as the Ravid, that we're talking that there was some sort of a Mashiach that was done by the Bailam when he placed it in the front of you, and therefore it's considered to be, the Meiri also says, considered to be your shlichus. It's like the Bailam of the Mashiach was your shlichus. The only thing is, Ritva rejects the idea, we're talking specifically about an animal, he feels it's very dochuk, there's talking dafka about an animal. So therefore, the Meiri personally feels that it's better to learn that we're talking Bishamoshcha. In other words, we're talking specifically that the owner of the item placed it, did it as a dragon and put it in front of you, and that's considered to be your, he did it, your shlichus. The Meila, therefore, is like the Shemir did the Mashincha, and that's why he's going to be Chayim. So the Meiri follows the same plan as the Ravid Akoponim with a broader aspect of it. It's talking not just about animals. Samozoi, the owner did the Mashiach, put it in front of you. But Koponim, you're being kinder with Kinyan Mashiach, with the owner doing it, the act of the Mashiach as as your shlichus. So that's the other mahalach in the sugya that some learn that we're talking with the Maisa Kinyan. The Tava Pavarsky over here, in the shir of Tava Pavarsky, tainas that he feels that this shita of the Meiri and the Raivid, that they learn that the owner, of the, who's the mafkid, so to speak, the one who's giving it over to you for safekeeping, that he's the one who did the schlepping, or he hit it to cause it to move, and it's ke'ilu, the shemer did the Kenyan, he says that's a pella on the face of it, and really is not oiskal on the feeling, literally. Because he says, Havada, although you could have a shliach to do a ma'isa kinyan, but to say that the makne is the one who is doing the shliach to do the ma'isa kinyan for you, that would not be possible. I'm buying some sort of an item and I want to make a hagmor, I can't do it myself, so I ask the makne, the one who presently owns it, to make the shlichas and the ma'isa kinyan. That's impossible. You could lay tzum, but it's impossible. In other words, because a ma'isa kinyan by definition is defined halachically as an act of taking it out of the rishus of the old guy to place into the rishus of the new, and such an act, such a ma'isa is not mashkachas lo benegiah to a person who is the makne, he is the existing bialim. There's no way for him to do a pool of taking it out of his rishus. So Pavaris, he asks, so how are you going to explain the Ravid and the Meiri over here? Are they really saying this thing that the owner who's the mafkin, he's doing a mashicha and his ke'ilu a shlichus, ke'ilu that the shomer is doing it and it takes it into his rishus? How could that mean lamar ma'isa, the owner can't do the ma'isa kinyan? So Pavaris says that the answer is based on an important idea, which he says actually it seems that from this Gemara, from these Mishnah Gufa, to be able to take out a raya to this idea. And that is, Dr. Pavarsky, and this is other Marmakarius for this, to understand properly how the Gedda the Kinyan Mashiach works. This Bemist is a discussion at this point. And now, we said before, the Mashiach only works in a simta. You can't do a Mashiach, for example, in a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, which is a public highway. It's impossible to do a Kinyan Mashiach there. What's the idea? So, as you do with the Marim HaKayim, speak out, in other words, that the simta, the shoulder of the highway, Chazal, I make it available to become konoi to any individual for the purpose of a Kinyan. That's the kind of stipulation of Chazal. And therefore, the simta really can only be done in a Makam that's defined, that's ogatized as a Roshus of the Kaina, and he's ragging it into his Makam. That's equivalent of placing it in your own makam, and that's how the Ma'aser Kinyan Mashiacha works. That's why it doesn't work on a public highway, because Chazal are not makin it over for your own usage, for your own purposes, and it doesn't become your makam. The Mashiacha is only schlepping it to your own makam. Zokta of Demper Favarsky, that it's a very stark mashma, and the Rishonim over here that speak of this very strange shlichus, the makin himself is doing the act of Mashiacha the shlichus. It's mashma, Zokta of Favarsky, that the Rishonim understood that the getter of Kinyan Mashiacha is that it does not in fact have a Ma'aser Kinyan. It doesn't work with a Ma'isa. You know, when I do a chalipin, so I do an act of bartering, an act of giving and getting in return, and there's a ma'isa kinyan. Mashiach kinyan of Pavarsky says a mashiach doesn't work with a ma'isa kinyan. Mashiach works by means of the fact that I caused it to end up being in my own domain, and it's the existence of the thing in my domain, in my rishus, as a result of my own causative, my own actions caused it, that is the kinyan mashiach. So in other words, it's not the ma'isa mashiach that tattoos it off, it's rather the existence of the thing being in my own rishus, based upon the preparatory step activities that I did to bring it here. So that's the Kinyan Mashiach, it's the Metzius of the thing being in my Rishus. And once you understand it that way, Dr. Pavarsky, you understand that the Rishayim are not a problem. And the Ravid says, and the Meiri says, that you could actually have the Matna doing the Mashiach for the Kaina in a case like this one. What they're really saying is, that if Mashiach would be go to out some Maisa Kinyan, you have to do an action of a Kinyan. It's Poshet Zok there, that the Matna came to the Maisa Kinyan as a Shliach for the Kaina. However, since the whole Gedda Mashiach just to do something, to generate, but through your own actions, to bring about that the object is now lying at rest in a makam that's quasi coming to you, it's sort of coming to you, it's a simta, etc. So, if that's the whole gather of Mashiach, all we would have to do to make this thing work in this case is to say that the new makam in the simta is coming to me, and it was brought about as a result of someone who is acting for me. But that action that was done for me when the makne schlepped it over for me, it doesn't have to be misyaches to me, it doesn't have to be labeled as my action, it doesn't have to called an Isaac Kenyan. It's just that I caused it, he did it for me, and thereby it came to rest in the new Mokum that's called my Mokum. Since Mashiach doesn't work with a Isaac Kenyan, says Rav Havarsky, if you can understand what the Rishonim are saying, it could even be done by the Makne for the purpose of the Koine, or in this case the Shomer. And in the basic Machloket Rishonim that we just spoke of, that Tosfos and the Rosh hold that a Shomer could become a Shomer, can mekabel upon itself Chiyuvei Shmira, even without doing any Ma'aser Kinyan, as opposed to other Rishonim, the Ravid, the Meiri, other Rishonim, that they hold that a Shomer needs to have a Ma'aser Kinyan, a Ma'aser taking within for himself. There is a Achroinim on both sides of the fence trying to figure out the Havon of each Shita. The Machne Ephraim and the Tzayis HaChoyishen work to try to understand the Shita of the Tosis and the Rosh, who hold that you can become a mechuyav as a shomer, mechayav chiyuv shmira, even without doing any kind of a ma'aseh kinyan. Now the Machne Ephraim asked the question. He says, Salman Shach, without a ma'aseh kinyan, how do you taka become a chuyav? A person doesn't become a chayav just without any kind of a pool of sakinyan, without any kind of something to generate a chiyav. What did Rabbi Alma became a chuyav? What was it that taka generates the chiyav shomim and the responsibilities, and now you have to pay if something happens as a result of your negligence? What made you, what gave you the label of a shomer for the Machne Ephraim if it didn't go to a ma'aseh kinyan according to Tosfos and the Rosh? The truth is the Machne Ephraim matters on this. He goes back and forth. He does not have a good approach that satisfies him. He tries to suggest to Machne Ephraim that maybe it goes to with Zita de Garmi. In other words, that perhaps the vort is, Zokter, that once the shomer says, put it in front of me and I take responsibility, so he's causing the owner to rely on him in a somewhat similar manner that he spoke of before, that the other party relies on you and ends up being harmed by the fact that he relied on you. So maybe in similar manner here, Zokter Machne Ephraim, that when the shomer tells the owner, put it in front of me and you can just rely, don't worry, I'll be taking care of it. So now if anything happens to it subsequent to that, that will be fall under the din of the garmi, because the owner relinquished to his mistalikas vishus from it as a result of the fact that he accepted your reassurance that you're going to be placing it within your own rishus and your own vigilance responsibility. Now that as a result of his reliance on your word, he ended up getting harm. Maybe you chayav din of the garmi, and maybe zok the machne Ephraim, that's pshat according to the Rosh, that even though you didn't make a ma'aseh kinyan, you're going to be chayav for the fact that you reassured him. He was mistalik rishus, so as a result of your reassurance, and now you're a garmi. However, ultimately, the Machne Ephraim comes out that that's actually not maspik. It doesn't work to solve the problem. Because, Dr. Machne Ephraim, since we know that every shomer, if there are eidim mamish, that he was negligent, or negligent according to his madriga shmira, then he has to pay. Then you have to taka say, Dr. Machne Ephraim, that in a case like that one, where there's mamish abir, an existing raya, that he was taka negligent, maybe it's a din of the garmi. He told the owner to misalik his rishus and his vigilance, because he relied on me, I'll take care of it. And now you didn't, and ended up getting harm. So perhaps it is a din of the garmi if there is a raya that there hasn't happened. Masha'in kein zokt the Machne Ephraim. Everybody knows, and we have all the sugyas and it's talking about Metzia about it. We even know that there's scenarios of a shomer in which something happened that I'm claiming it was an oynes and you're claiming that it was a pshia. So we fight it out. And the halacha is in various cases that the shomer has to take a shmua, that he has to swear in order to support his position, his perspective that the thing was destroyed as a result of an oynes. And the Gemara took a different shvuith, which he actually learned from Sukkim of the Chumash. The fact of them, the Machne Ephraim, he says, if in the case where the shomer did not do any ma'aseh kinyan, and the whole machayev for the shomer is only the fact that as a result of my word, you accepted my word, and now you left, you masalik your vigilance from it, and now as a result of that it got harmed, if that's a din of the garmi zok, that would only help, and if there's a raya that such a thing took place, and you have to pay cash, pull out your wallet and pay for it. There's no raya one way or the other. The only idea, the only source for the notion that, okay, but now you machayev me a shvuas a shomer, and it's a support my position, is only if I fall mamish within the parish of Shemim. I have to fall in the parish of Shemim. And for that, Zokter, you're not going to be able to say, it's not going to be sufficient that there's some kind of parallel to Din Garmi that we could bring in. Din Garmi is a parish of Mazik, it's not the parish of Shemim. And if you're going to say, which Lechoyer we do say, Zokter, Machne Ephraim, that even based on Dibra Ba'almo, if we fight over whether the thing got destroyed from my negligence, or I say I wasn't negligent, and you see a Mechayev me an oath, a Mechayev me a Shmua, that's a raya that the actual path of Shemim kicked in. And it's not a side din based upon the din of the garmi. And the Machne Ephraim, Taka Hashver, he leaves with a question, what's the head in the Tosfos and the Rosh? Why, according to them, Hanach Lefonai is Mechayev, the Shemir and Achrayas, without a Ma'aseh Kinyan. The Ksais HaChoyshin, however, says a vort that seems to be somewhat of a starker vort, and he brings Smuchim to it, and this apparently this will be the Mahalach. The Ksais goes in the same question, that what is it that's Mechayev, a shomer who accepts chiyuv shmira verbally, in the case of Tosfos, just verbally, the Adikini, what's mechayev him? So of them, Zoktek Tzois, that the correct understanding of that is based upon a tzushtel, Zokter, to a sugya earlier on, daf ayin vohmebeis, the sugya of Poyel, that's the beginning of the sixth parak that we're learning, the sugya of Poyel, the halach over there is that if we verbally agreed, the employee and the employers, they agreed, they got together and said, okay, well, I'm going to work for you today. So you don't have an actual mechayev chayiv that binds either of the parties because there was no hascholas ha-pa'ula, there was no actual kinyan that bound them. However, the moment that the pa'ula starts is avoid, the Gemara says, and I am involved in base, then you do have a pa'ula that binds both parties, and the employer can't back out, and the employee does a din of libi yisrael avodim, avodim v'loy avodim avodim, so he technically could back out because of his hasakosiv, but he's responsible, he's left holding the bag, yodol ha-tachtoina, if the employer has to pay more for another pa'ula, he's going to have to reimburse for that, like the Gemara talks about on the Thayim Vav. So you see over there, zokt the k'tois, and when you're talking about accepting work upon yourself, so the hascholas ha-pa'ula is a maisa that creates a kabbalah sachrayas. And that's what is true over there, that by the workers begin the pa'ula of the work on the Thayim Vav, so both parties, the employer and the employee, are mashabe themselves, they take a chrayas for this relationship of a poil that they're going to be poiling for you. Likewise over here, Zaktik Sois, the moment that I'm a salak myself based on his say-so, and he starts to shmir, he starts watching over it, that's called Hascholas Avoida, similar to a poil starting the job in the morning. Over here, we have the beginning, we have the shomer beginning to watch over it, you a salak yourself and I'm watching over it, that's Hascholas HaPa'ula, and therefore contains within itself as a Kabbalah Sachrayas, and that's the beer Zok there, and the Shittas HaTaisis, and why Taisis and the Rosh hold that even without any kind of Maisa Kinyin, that beginning of the work, the Ascholas HaAvoida, just like an Ayin Vav, that itself contains an acceptance of responsibility, and therefore I accept upon myself the Achrayas to become a Shoimer. All of this is Vinegeya and the Shita of the Toisvis and the Rosh, that they hold that you accept a Kabbalah's Chiyuvei Shoimer even without a Maisa Kinyin. The truth is that Bekiv Eger asked a question on the other Shita, which is the Shita of the Raivad of the Yimei. All those Mishenim will hold that you don't take a Kabbalah's Kinyin of some kind in order to Mekabal Chiyuvei Shoimer. So Bekiv Eger asked the Manushach's fact there, if it does take a Kabbalah's Kinyin, then how is the Kinyin Mashiach going to work over here? Einoi Muvan, Mativo Shal Mashiach B'Shem Echines. Bekiv Eger says it's not understandable. Ha'einoi Zoiche B'Klum B'Mashiach Azu. And in Meila, why should the Mashiach even be called a Maisa Kinyan? Why should Mechayev himself if he doesn't gain any gain out of it? In other words, Vega is asking, Tainach, if I'm making a Mashiach on an item to become a Shoyal on it, to become a Seicher on it, so I'm obviously I am gaining. With the Mashiach, I'm gaining rights of usage, either usage of borrowing usage of a Shoyal, rental usage of a Seicher. That's a Shtarka Maisa Kinyan, and we understand how Maisa Kinyan works. Mashiach gain for the Vega by Hashem Echinam is totally downside to him. All it is just an outlay on his part, the expenditure of energies, that he's agreeing to be a Shem Echinam, he's not gaining a thing, he's not being Zoicha anything out of it. So if that's the case, then what's the meaning altogether? How does even Bechlan have meaning to make a Maisa Kinyan? You're making a Maisa Kinyan, but you're not actually acquiring anything, you're not gaining anything, you're not getting anything out of it. It not only doesn't become yours, it doesn't become Shol to you, it's just a Shem Echinam. So what is the meaning of a Maisa Kinyan? In that context, Bechlan blives with a question on this. He doesn't understand what meaning it would have to make a Maisa Kinyan on a thing that you're just watching over, and it's completely outlay and expenditure on your part. You're not gaining anything out of it. That's what Gevegim. Tzayis HaChoshen once again comes in the clutch over here, and on his own he also goes into this same Shiloh. The Tzayis works on explaining what is the function of the Maisa Kinyan according to those we show you in the Raivu of the Yimei, well, that you're making a Maisa Kinyan to accept the Shmira. What will be the function of the Maisa Kinyan in this case? So Zokta Tzayis, there is actually Zokta Ari Magash in HaShoyal who draws an important parallel to the din of a ganav or a gazlan. Now we know that the Gemara tells us by a ganav and a gazlan that once they make the mashicho, they make the hagbah, they make the maisa kinyan of the item, it's nichnas the rishusai, and from then on in they're responsible whatever happens to it because it came part of the rishus for the purpose of being v'chayav at the shlumin for the item. Now that's the case, and the Gemara is really mavur, Zokta Muki Yosef, that you do a maisa kinyan. The Gemara tells in different places that it's becoming responsible as a ganav or as a gazlan is dependent on having made a maisa kinyan. So Zokta Muki Yosef, that is a comparable thing. Just like you find that a person becomes a ganav, it means that Maisa Kinyan, so too, you're currently responsible for the Ruvish Shoimrim also, Shemachinam, in the same manner by making a Maisa Kinyan. In other words, the Tzayis brings down this Muki Yosef, and he says, this is actually a very sharp avoid. You really do see, Lechaya, a gather of a Maisa Kinyan, which is actually detrimental to you. A Maisa Kinyan to your detriment. And that's over here, that's what's happening over here, by the case of ganav and gazan. In other words, you machnas it into your Rishus, you're not gaining anything out of it as a ganav. What's your gain from the the standpoint of the ganav and the fact that now he's halachically responsible for it, it's actually a complete loss to him to be responsible halachically. Nonetheless, ma'aseh kinyan means he took it into the domain, and now as a ganav, you're responsible for it. So likewise, at the tzoyis, the same thing is truly here, based on Muki Yosef, that the shomer takes it into his domain and he becomes responsible for it. The tzoyis says that there's actually a ramban over there that says an alternative pshat, and the ramban says that actually the mashicha, or the ma'aseh kinyan, is really just the way of saying that that's a scholos avoida. In other words, I took it, I physically took it, I placed it within my domain, so that's the beginning of my work on this object, and from now on I'm going to continue being watchful and vigilant about it. The beginning of the work is doing the ma'aseh mashicha. According to that pshat of the Ramban, by the way, there's actually no fundamental distinction between Tosfos and the Rosh and the other Rishonim who hold that you have to make a ma'aseh kinyan to become a shomer. According to that, all sides are going to agree, like we said before from the Ksais, that the hascholos ha'pa'ula, the beginning of the avoida, that is what makes the shomer achroi. The only shaila is going to be whether it takes a ma'aseh, a physical ma'aseh, being machted into my rishus in order to show that that's hascholos avoida, that the Ramban will hold that it does take a physical ma'aseh, and Tosfos won't agree, but there's no fundamental machloket. Now, she'en kein, according to the Muki Yosef, there's actually a fundamental argument between the Ravid of the Imei against Tosfos and the Rosh, that according to the Muki Yosef, the pshat is that doing a ma'aseh kinyan is an actual taking of it into my domain. So it's nichnas l'rishusi, just like a gazlon takes an ayin nichnas l'rishusi, and a meila from there on and in, he's responsible for it with the ma'aseh kinyan taking it into the domain, and likewise the same with the case of a shomer. The Ksoi says Mefapel over there al Pidarkoi, and he suggests that the reason why not everyone accepts the reasoning of the Nemuka Yosef, which Lachor is a very stark of heart that makes sense, just like you find that a Maisa Kenyan is Machayev you in the responsibilities of a Ganav or a Gazlan to repay, so too the Maisa Kenyan should be Machayev you in the Chuvish Shemir. Why is it, Zok the Ksoi, that the Arihim, like the Ramban, who disagree with it and find some other Mahalach to explain the Kenyan that's done for a Shemir? What's wrong with the Tzuchel, the Ganav and Gazlan? The Ksoi says Mefapel al Pidarkoi, and he suggests that the depends on 2 days in the Gemara in Perek Elinairis in Ksubas Lamatal. The Gemara has two opinions over there. When it gets a person who becomes a Shomer and then something happens to it, at what point did the Shomer become responsible to pay? Do we say Mishas Pshia Va'elach? In other words, that Bemis, you have the thing in your domain, you're washing over it for 2 weeks, and then you're Peshay and something happens to it. So from the point that a Pshia, when the point thing happened, from then and on, you become a chayav to pay, which is the pashtus. What do we say? The Gemara has a tzad to say that be'emes every shomer is chayav to pay for the moment that he accepts chiyuv shmir upon himself. But if he does return it, he gets off the hook. But if you don't return it, then the original chiyuv kicks in, which was originally mechayav you when you first took it as a from the bekabel sashmir from the get go. Then from that moment, you're already mechayav mumnis in the eventuality you don't return it. Two tzadim. The Gemara gives an afkamin over there. What the difference, the practical difference between these two tzadim? So he wants to suggest, he says there is a machlokes Rishonim, he says that's a fact, Rishonim argue about which side of the Gemara we go with, so he wants to say that you can only say the Muki Yosef's vort and compare the Maisa Kinyan of a Shomer to that of a Gan of Gazlon, taken into the domain, they're responsible for it, have to pay. He says you only could say that if you hold like the side of the Gemara, that the Mechayev of payment of a Shomer is from the onset of the very get-go, the moment that he accepts the thing into his hand to be Shomer it, and then Zok the Ksois, that would be a good comparison with the Maisa Kinyan of a Ganav and Gazlan, because you know by Kinyan of a Ganav and Gazlan, I've added it's chal the moment that they take it into the domain, that moment they really have to pay. It's clear like that in Baba Kama, it's absolutely clear in the 7th parak of Merubah of Baba Kama. If you do give it back, the object entity intact and you don't have to pay, but if you don't, then the chiyuv of payment was chal from Yikara. So Zok the Ksois, if you want to make the comparison to Ganav and Gazlan, you would have to hold, which some Rishonim do hold, like again it's out of the Gemara in Elunairis, you have to hold that a shoyl is the same thing. If it was a I have to pay immediately in the eventuality he won't give back the entity, and then it will be a good sush of the Gan of Gazlan. If you hold it on the Rishonim, Zot Tzoyis, that hold that the Shomer is not mechuyev to pay from the get go until later on he's Pesheya, and then he's responsible from then on to pay. A new Chiyuv is created to pay from then on in. Mishas Pshiyah Ve'elach, it would not be comparable to Gan of Gazlan, and that's why some Rishonim don't go with the Muki Yosef's reasoning in his comparison to Gan of Gazlan. That's the Tzoyis. The truth is, in Ladin, you really could have questioned this point, because no matter how you look at it, it's definite that a shoyel is making a hachnosel or shusay for the purpose of his detriment and of getting incurring some sort of obligation. But the obligation is taking place immediately, taking effect right now, or is delayed and going to take effect upon the occasion of the pshiyah. The fundamental idea, you really perhaps could arguably have said, the person is making a hachnosel into his rishus, the purpose of being mechayev himself at certain achrayasin, and that's the gather of a shoyel, and you find a comparable thing, like Mikhesis says, benegeya to a Gan of Gazlan. Let us discuss now the opening line of our Mishnah here on our base. The Mishnah opens with Kol Ha'umnin Shemei Sachar Hein, that a Uman that has a din of a Shemei Sachar. Now there's a whole sugya about it, we'll talk a little bit, but we know that coming up, that the Gemara discusses the fact that I'm a craftsman and I accepted the item because of taking on this job, so I took your keli, I'm going to be fixing it. Obviously it's remunerative for me to have this keli in my rishus. I'm going to be fixing it and I'm going to give it back to you at the end of the job is done and then you'll pay me for it. And so therefore is going to be gained from it, and therefore he gets a din of a shemes sachar. We'll talk a little about the svaras in the Gemara on this point. The Rashi over here says a loshin that a woman is a kol umna shemes sachar. So the Rashi's loshin is kol umna kablonim and makalu aleihem lasois melacha b'vatehem. So Rashi defines the uman as someone who's a kablon. That's A, and B is that he accepts upon himself the work to do the melacha in his own house. Las melacha b'vatehem. There's really two nekudas in this Rashi, which the Achrona Stella. We'll talk about it a little bit. One element, which maybe we'll see a little later, is the fact that Rashi hops onto a kablon. As you may be aware, and the Mefarshim point this out over here, there's actually two types of umnin that take on jobs. Some get paid by the job, they take it like a contract, they take on the whole job, and that's called a kablon. And that's where the example that Rashi gives here, and the Torah writer speaks the same thing out in Shinvah, that the Mishnah is talking about a kablon, like we'll see a little bit. So that's one scenario. The other scenario is a schir yoim, a person gets paid by the day, whatever he does that day he does, and tomorrow you'll see if you want him again, and you'll pay him to do more work, he gets paid by the hour or by the day, rather than being paid by the job. Rashi, for some reason, is mashma, that we're talking about specifically a kablon, person getting paid for the job, and then he's a shemes sachar. That's one point, we'll see. The second point, though, which we'll talk about that Machne Ephraim discusses, is the fact that Rashi chaps on to the woman who's a kablon, and tells to do melasa melacha bevotehem. Why did Rashi have to get into that? Does it really matter, in fact, the Machne Ephraim, does it make a difference, one way or the other, whether the woman is doing the work in his own home, his own, which is Rashi's case, and then he becomes a Shemes Sachar, as opposed to where this is a job and on the premises job, and every day for a few weeks, the woman shows up at the employer's place at his home, and the woman works on site on it, and then what? And then he wouldn't be called a Shemes Sachar? Why not, for the Machne Ephraim? It is Mashma Rashi, however, Rashi is Mashma, that it's only the only kind of woman that becomes a Shemes Sachar in the Kabbalah work to do it, Bevotehem. So what's the pshat in that? Now, the Machne Ephraim claims, like this, he says, "Be'etzem zok de." There's actually several different explanations in the Gemara over here on the base. Benegaya too, what is it that makes the woman into a Shemes Sachar? Why is it exactly that it's possible to Shemes Sachar? We'll talk a little about the Gemara. But Eishayir, the Gemara says one svara, that the reason why he's considered to be benefiting from holding on to it is because the Tofes Leia Igre, because he gets to hold on to it, he doesn't have to start sending out the sheriff and start begging on his hands and knees to get paid. He knows, he feels batuach that he's going to get paid, because he's got the item he was working on, holding on to it, to hold on to it till he gets the pay, tofes leia igre, and because it's such a benefit to him to have the item in his domain, he's tofes leia igre, he'll know to use it as a sledgehammer to make sure he gets his salary, so therefore that itself is makes it considered that you're a shemes sachar because you have the benefit in the item. So if you go like that, zok the Machne Ephraim, the Rashi makes 100% perfect sense. And if that will be correct, that only time when I say that the woman is a shemes sachar on the item is when he has it in his own home, so he's really going to blackmail the baal ha item, and he'll say, unless you pay me, I'm not giving it back to you. But Shenkin, if it's in the place of employment of the employer, so then you're not going to be able to hold on to, you'll be able to take it and hold on to it for yourself, and that's why there's no sivu to make the Oman Shemes Sachar. So that works very well, and explains the Rashi very well, if I go with the side of the Gemara of Tavas Leia Igre. Now granted, there are, in fact, some Rishonim who do go, and we'll see a little bit about it, and do Paskin, the Mukiyais over here, and others do Paskin, the din of Tavas Leia Igre, and according to them, why, perhaps, the din of Shemes Sachar is only going to come up in the event that the woman has it in his own home, and therefore he could hold on to it and blackmail the other guy to make him pay. However, the Machne Ephraim writes that he's bechlal not satisfied to learn up Rashi in the Mishnah based on that. Rashi in the Mishnah zok there should not be meshuvet to dafka one shita, which Pasha is not even the ikar shita in the Gemara. Rashi says a flat out statement in the Mishnah, the woman is only a shemes sachar, he has bevotehem. There must be some holistic, overarching idea that if it's still in the home of the employer, then you're not going to be a shemes sachar at all, according to all the thought of the Gemara, Zog the Machne Ephraim. So because of this, the Machne Ephraim moves over to say, to bring down a Bach, a very Bechudishtika Bach, the beginning of Simon Shinvov and Choshem Mishpat. The Bach makes the claim that Bechlal, the Bach, he says that the only time when a person gets Mechayev, the Chiyuvei Shemrim, is when he takes it out of the place of the home of the Bialim and takes it into his own home. If you're watching over it, the Bialim leaves town, and you're watching over in his homes at the Bach, not only are you not a Shem Esachar, you're a Filu, not a Shem Echinam. Why? So the Bach says, and I wanted to take it a moment on this, to point out exactly what the Bach says on it. The Bach says, because the Shemir only becomes a Chivu Shemir when it's Nistalku HaBailim. That's the key concept. The Bialim was Nistalik, they withdrew, and therefore you stepped in their stead, and you become responsible for it. But the Zok, the Bach, if it's still in his home, and he ends in a kuda, it's in his home, and you don't have the right to take it out into your home, so he's the controller of where it is, and he's leaving it still in his own home. He didn't give the right to take it home if you want. So therefore, in a case like that, that's called loy nestalko abaylam, because the baylam, as long as it's in their home, they're considered to be still, that they're the ones vigilant, they're the ones watching over it. In such a case, you don't become a shomer. And that is the hezbir of the Bach, and granted, the Machne Ephraim wants to say that, and the Rashi, there's an etzem din, and the etzem shomerim, that it's only bivotehem, in their own home they become a shomer. They're watching it on site, that's not a Kabbalah chiyuv shmir at all, and you don't become a shomer. And the Machne Ephraim concludes with a very, very cryptic statement, v'chein esav mechilta. That's a very, very short thing. It's the same exact word we find in a mechilta. Now, if it is true that you find this word in a mechilta, that would certainly be a huge thing, a tremendous thing, and you'll certainly want to know which mechilta it is. The truth of the matter is that as far as whether this is the correct din lahalacha, it's actually a big fight in the Achrenim at the beginning of Shimon Shinvav. We mentioned before just now the Bach hold it is a true din, that you don't become a shomer if you're watching it on premises at the home of the owner. However, the Shach on the spot over there in Shinvav, the Shach says it's not a correct din, and the Shach says there's no distinction between whether you're watching over it in your own home, you're watching over in the home of the owner. It makes no difference if you're a shomer, you become chayv achiv shomer. So it actually is often a machlokes between the Gedolei Achrenim and the Shach argues on the whole din. He also he could be a shomer even if it's in the home of the owner. So what is this mechilta that the Machne Ephraim is saying? Hochi is the mechilta. Is it really a beferish mechilta that goes against the Shach? So what's a very interesting thing here, almost an oddity, is that there are actually two days in the Achroinim when they get to which mechilta the Machne Ephraim was talking about. He doesn't say which mechilta it was. And the Achroinim get into a whole tumult to understand which mechilta was being discussed by the Machne Ephraim. The Dvar Avraham brings down this Machne Ephraim, and he understands the Machne Ephraim was referring to a mechilta in Parashas Mishpatim. Which, by the way, is talking about a shoyel, as the Dvar Avraham points out. If you become a borrower and you buy me im re'ehu, those are the two key words, from the re'ehu, me im re'ehu, from being with the re'ehu. Magid zok the mechilta she'ene chayev at she'echtioi chutz me'rishusai. On the face of it, sounds like a pretty good raya. You're not chayev until you take out of the rishus. So apparently, even if you're a shomer, that you're watching over in the rishus as opposed to out of the rishus, so then you don't become a shomer. So it looks like a pretty strong raya to the Machne Ephraim. Zok the Dvar Avraham, that actually he says that there's not such a strong taina for this mechilta at all. Why? Because since the mechilta was talking about a shoyel, chiyish alish me'im re'ehu, so it could be that all the mechilta meant to say was that as far as the shoyel goes, you don't become a shoymer, you're not responsible in any chiyuvim until you do a ma'isa kinyan of some kind, which as you recall from earlier today, we discussed that actually is what Tosfos and the Rosh say, that a shem echinim and a shem esachar, they become chayav on the spot just by accepting responsibility. Whereas a shoyel and a Soicher, which over there the vort is that over there they're taking it for the they're getting a rights of shimush, a rights of usage in it, and therefore they have to make a ma'aseh kinyan to get those rights. It's also the Rav Rome. Maybe that's the pasuk is saying chiyish alish ain't a chayav at sheyitzir mirshusay me'im re'ehu at sheyitzir mirshusay. The nekuda perhaps zok the Rav Rome is not really toloi and you're taking it out of his rishus. The real nekuda is simply toloi and the fact that you did a ma'aseh kinyan on it, which gevein the ma'aseh kinyan does take it out of your rishus. For example, Hagbor, Zok the Dvar Avraham. You could do Hagbor on the spot. You don't have to leave the guy's airspace of his domain. But the lumdus of Hagbor, Zok the Dvar Avraham, the lumdus is, I lifted it from the surface of his rishus, now it's in the airspace, and it could be viewed as being in my rishus, even if it's in his airspace. That is actually the lumdus of Hagbor. My grasping of it in his airspace is called me rishusoy. It's called out of his rishus. So therefore, the Bechilta is not a raya that all shaymer are not a shaymer until you take it out of the guy's domain. Maybe it's really talking about a way of doing a mice. kinyan, and the ma'isa kinyan is the vor, the assignment of the ma'isa kinyan is now I took it out of the shus of ma'isa, and therefore, instead of a shayel, we know that a shayel is only going to be chayev if there's a ma'isa kinyan. The Imri Bina discusses this Machne Ephraim and actually understands that Machne has somewhat a different Mechilta, which is somewhat stronger argument in his case because he points out that Machne Ephraim himself discusses Mechilta elsewhere. The Imri Bina's Mechilta is actually by the case of Shemesachar, which makes it somewhat stronger because it's by a Shemesachar, not by a Shoyl who needs special strength, special taikif, like we said. And the Pasuk says, by a Shemesachar, v'chiyit and isha v'yehu, chamoyer oy shoyer oy seh. And the Pasuk says over there, Mechilta says, Rishmoloy, you have to be mafkid and give it over to him for safekeeping. Here it is and watch it for me. Get your eyes on that. Hareza potter. That's not a kabbalah luchim shmira and your potter. This mechilta is somewhat unclear. The Imri Bina writes that the key words of the mechilta are in the earlier words sheyafkid etzloi v'yomer heila shmerli. So etzloi means, and this was the source of the Machne Ephraim according to Imri Bina, etzloi means you have to have taken out of the owner's rishus, put it into the shemer's home, into the shemer's rishus, yafkid etzloi, and only then is he going to be chayev. The end of the mechilta, if he says, just keep your eyes on it, your potter, means, zakti imri bina, that you simply did not remove it from the domain of the original owner, and just said, okay, keep an eye on it, and then you're going to be potter. So, imri bina accepts, actually, that that makes sense, that that would be a good raya from the mechilta, that you're only going to be chayev at the shemer, only yafkid etzloi, placed it in the rishus of the shomer. However, lemaisa, I looked around the mefarshim mechilta, and there are other mahalchim. There is a mekeves mishnah, a separate sefer mechilta called mekeves mishnah mechilta. The mekeves mishnah mechilta has a suggestion actually that the key words in the mechilta may actually be the words ten inechoboy as potter, and he sells that suit to a sugi in tomorrow's daf mitzvah shem daf pei aleph and a sefer b'matzia. Tomorrow brings in the sheet that's Rebbe and Baba Kama that Rebbe holds that it makes a difference if you explicitly accept shmirah or you just say, put it down in front of me. Put it down in front of me, according to Rebbe, is just not an acceptance of Shmir. It just means put it down. If I say explicitly I'm a Shemir, then I accepted it. Because the Mishnah suggests that maybe that's the difference in the Mechilta. If you just say, Teni Necho boy, put your eyes on it, that's not an acceptance of Shmir, perhaps like Rebbe. If you say, you go to him and you say, Shmirly, so you said black on white Shmirly, and that's an acceptance of Shmir. So the truth is, there is ways around this Mechilta as well. And like we said before, ultimately, it's a big Machlokes HaPoiskim, and the Shach rejects his Chiddush, and he holds that those who speak a lashon of bevesoy, etc., alav dafka zot the shach, and the ikar is zot the shach, that the point is that you, the shemir, accepts a responsibility of shemir upon himself, no matter where he is, even on the premises of the employer, the balabayas, according to the shach, he will still have a din of a shemir. Finally, let's come back to the discussion in the poiskim about the beginning words of Rashi. The Rashi says that kol umnin Hashem esachar means kol kablonim hamakablam aleihem lasoiz malachu v'tehem. As we mentioned before, kablon is a specific type of a shemir. He's the one who paid by the job. He takes on the whole job and paid by the job, as opposed to a day laborer. Is there something specific about Rashi who says kablon and granted the tour in the beginning of Shin Vav is the same expression of kablon? And this is where the shaila comes in the poiskim. The opinion of the Drisha and the Sma, which were both written by the same person, in the beginning of Shin Vav, both the Drisha and the Sma make the Diyuk in the Torah, and it's Hodin and Rashi over here, and they understand that it's Dafka Din and Kablon, and in fact, the Schir Yoim, even if the thing is object in his own home, and he's doing work on it a day-by-day basis, if he gets paid by the day, he does not have a Din of a Shomer Socher. Why would that be? Zok the Drisha, the Sma elaborates a little bit more on that. What's up, Shatan? So that the Hezbollah is that we find a Svara here in the Gemara on Daf Pei, that one element that makes this fellow into a Shemes Sachar is the fact that he benefited, that you selected him from out of all the professionals and you gave it specifically to him to work on that. And so there are plenty of other professionals in the world and you chose him, Dafka. So Meila, therefore, that's a gain that he has in holding on to it, that he was one who was selected and therefore he's a Shemes Sachar. It's Zokt of them, the Sma, that works when it gave it to a Kablon, because a Kablon, a person goes through a whole serious selection process, he wants a thing done, it could be a job, it'd take a couple of weeks to do, and you think about it and find the right guy and select him, and therefore there's a special benefit. He was selected, and you gave him the thing to him, so he holds on to it. That is done in a haphazard way. That selection process is really haphazard. That's the Sma says. Hey, Yoim said, I just picked the first person. I'll give it to him for a day. If I don't like the job at the end of the day, I'll find somebody else tomorrow. Then that's done in a haphazard way. You're not like making a whole selection process to give the whole job to someone. It's just for the day. So whoever you can count, you just give it to him. Zot the Sma. And therefore, such a thing, the giving to Schir Yoim doesn't involve the selection process. He's not specially geklibin, specially selected, set aside, and therefore he's not the one who's selected for the especially unique status of being the Umma for this thing, and therefore, since it's haphazard in Meila, the Schir Yoim would not have a din of a Shem Esochah. That's the Drisha, the Smaz Hezber. The Shach over there, however, totally disagrees with this, and the Shach says that all the different poiskim that discuss this din, we don't find any of the poiskim that they should taka speak out to the thing that a Schir Yoim doesn't have a din of a Shem Esochah. And in Meila, therefore, the Shitas HaShach is that the Lashon Kablon is Lavdafka, a Kablon, a Schir Yoim, no matter how he's getting paid, the bottom line is he's holding on to it, he's benefiting from the deal, obviously, he's going to be getting money out of it, fixing it, and eventually getting paid, and therefore he has a din of a Shem Esochah, regardless of whether the Uman, according to the Shach, is the Uman a Kablon or a Schir Yoim.
You have been listening to the Shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the Daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a Daf or Masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.